You damn right.
I piss my ass.
Race war.
The last ride.
Yeah.
It was back.
Olympic slam.
Yeah.
Malay.
2004.
It's so fucking real.
You damn right.
Wait a minute.
You're not even Chavito.
Who are you, USA?
Back to red.
You damn right. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to Hot Dog and a Handshake, episode 2. It is currently Friday, January 24th, 6:42 Eastern Time. So it is before SmackDown today. So we're not going to be talking about SmackDown today. So we'll get you started with SmackDown from last week. And here's what happened. Naomi and Bianca Belair defeated Nia Jax and Candice LeRae. Jimmy Uso defeated Carmelo Hayes via DQ. The Motor City Machine Guns defeated Los Garzas. Piper Niven defeated B-Fab. Kevin Owens defeated Rey Mysterio to, I guess, technically, I don't know, retain his Winged Eagle belt, I think. Maybe. I don't fucking know. And Tiffany Stratton defeated Bayley clean to retain the Women's Championship. Can't really think of anything else that happened on SmackDown. I think Mysterio... announced he was in the Rumble match, and that is really all.
Yeah, that
I can
was
think
pretty
of.
Much.
Charlotte returned promo package with the Substance Fall.
That's right.
Yeah,
ooh, Substance Fall.
Well, moving on to the next day, we had TNA Genesis, the first TNA NXT crossover event. And it was nothing was really announced NXT wise, but we did end up having some NXT guys show up. First being on the kickoff show, pre-show, whatever you wanted to call it, the countdown. We had Ashante Adonis versus Jake Something, where Jake Something defeated Ashante Adonis. Also on the countdown, we had Frankie Kazarian and Leon Slater, with Frankie Kazarian coming out on top. Moose and Ace Austin for the X Division title, and Moose retains the X Division title. We had The System taking on Eric Young and Steve Maclin, with Maclin and Eric Young going over. Knockouts tag titles on the lines is Spitfire taking on Ash and Heather by Elegance, and Spitfire retains the tag titles. We also had Jordan Grace and Tessa Blanchard, with Tessa Blanchard defeating Jordan Grace. Josh Alexander and Mike Santana in the hands down, no question about it, match of the night, with Mike Santana defeating Josh Alexander by making him say "I quit," and then Josh Alexander quit TNA, and we'll talk about that a little more later. TNA World Tag Titles were on the line, the Hardys defending against the Rascals, and the Hardys retain. We also had Masha Slamovich defending the TNA Knockouts World Championship against Rosemary in a match that was good, but I ultimately fell asleep during for a little bit, and I missed the finish. Clockwork Orange House of Fun match. Anyway, Masha retained. And in the main event, Nick Nemeth defending the TNA World Championship against Joe Hendry, and with a little bit of help from JBL, Joe Hendry finally wins the big one and wins the TNA World title.
NXT's own JBL.
NXT's own JBL.
Yes.
We move on to Raw on Netflix. We had... Jey Uso had a promo deal opening the show. He called Gunther out. They had some stuff happening. We had Rey Mysterio versus Kofi Kingston in what was a pretty good match, and Rey Mysterio went over during that match. That match also
What'd you call Kofi's hair?
Oh, yeah, Kofi has crazy Ministry of Darkness Taker fucking facial hair right now. It's insane.
Saw Tim New Day.
Yes,
it is.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mysterio beats Kingston, and JBL was on commentary for that. We have Bayley versus Nia Jax, and I don't even remember what the finish of this is. It doesn't even show a finish.
I think contest? Nia won.
Nia won with the fucking Annihilator or whatever the fucking...
We have Penta versus Pete Dunne in Penta's second match in WWE, and Penta, of course, wins because it's his second week. Well, maybe not, of course, but he won. CM Punk promo where he said he was going to kill Hulk Hogan. Damage Control versus Pure Fusion Collective, and Damage Control picks up the win.
Good match.
Main event, Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre, with Rollins getting the win, and then towards the end of that, Sami Zayn fucking kicked Rollins in the face with the Huluva kick on accident. Or was it? Moving on to NXT, a show that I don't think any one of us watched, but anyway, Tony D'Angelo took on Ridge Holland, and Tony D'Angelo won. I think this match may have been for the North American title.
Yes.
Who? Dion Lennox took on Wesley, and Wesley won. Lexus King took on Charlie Dempsey. This is a crazy fucking match graphic. And Lexus King won. Carmen Petrovic took on Jada Parker, two people that I don't know who they are, and Petrovic won.
Good.
Nico Vince and Brooks Jensen versus Stax and Luca Crucifino. Vince and Justin Jensen won, and the only thing I know about this match is Justin sent me the finish because it kicked ass.
Yep. Crazy Aquas line.
And we also had Obafemi versus Eddie Thorpe, which I believe was for the title, and Obafemi retained. That's it for NXT. Dynamite, a show that I was at, and a show that we will talk more about. Show opened with an Ospreay Kenny Omega promo. Omega told Ospreay to go fuck himself, and then the Don Callis family came out and attacked him, and Ospreay and Omega whipped their asses and did crazy fucking moonsaults off of the balcony and off of the fucking scaffolding thing, whatever you want to call it, the truss, there you go.
Truss rockers.
Whipped their ass crazy style, really cool. Private Party defending the AEW tag titles against the Hurt Syndicate of Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin, and Lashley and Benjamin whipped their ass for 10 minutes straight and then won the belts. That was base. That was cool.
Yeah.
Jeff Jarrett promo, he called out Moxley, he wants a world title match. Claudio came out, whipped his ass, and then they're going to have a match next week on Dynamite, and if Jarrett wins, he will get a world title match. Swerve Strickland and AR Fox. Swerve went over, but this was not before Ricochet comes out and Prince Nana chases him backstage. And then after the match, Ricochet has Nana held up with golden scissors. Hangman Page versus local competitor. I do not know who he was. I don't know how local he actually was.
I don't think they said his name.
Nope. Hangman wins in like 5 seconds with a fucking lariat. Crazy. After this, we have Christopher Daniels in the world's most comically large fucking neck brace I've ever seen. And yeah, makes Hangman feel bad. Julia Hart defeated Jamie Hayter in a really good match. Or, sorry, I had that the other way around. Jamie Hayter defeated Julia Hart in a really good match. In the main event, Cope versus Pac. And Cope wins, and then he gets his ass kicked by the Death Riders, and then Jay White comes out and also gets his ass kicked by the Death Riders. That was Dynamite.
I want to shoot myself.
Impact from this past week, yesterday, actually. I ain't reading all that. Impact happened. How about that?
For real?
Things that I know were like Mance Warder debuted and Steph Dillander has the digital media title now, apparently.
Yes.
They did Praxium versus the
Rascals.
Rascals for the NXT tag titles, which is pretty fucking cool in the grand scheme of things. You know, the first time ever that you know, a WWE championship was defended in TNA. Mm-hmm. That's kind of fucking insane. Mm-hmm. Praxium obviously retained.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, other than that, I don't think well, actually, we're going to talk about Josh Alexander after, so we can save what happened to Josh Alexander on Impact.
Mustafa Ali is back in TNA.
Oh yeah, that too.
That did happen too, yes. He came back.
He is re-signed.
Yes, and they did Nick Nemeth versus Matt Cardona for the TNA World Title.
Oh, yes, that's right. Matt Cardona is also in TNA.
Did not do Nick Nemeth and Matt Cardona. They did Joe Hendry and Matt Cardona for the TNA title because Nick Nemeth is not the TNA champion.
That would help because I didn't watch the show.
But you watch Genesis and you watch Joe Hendry win the belt.
Yeah, I forgot it until Sam said it.
Uh-huh.
Fucking, all right.
Anyway. Okay, someone please talk. Holy fuck.
That was the only... That was really it for in terms of impact. I mean, SmackDown last week was an okay show overall. I guess I would say the highlight of the night was definitely Ray and Owens, which yeah. ended up just today, I think, got 4.25 stars from Meltzer. I don't know if it was 4.25 or 4.5, but it was a really good match. That was worth watching the entire show for, to be honest with you.
Man, I'm still going to fucking level with you. I don't give a shit about a 3-hour SmackDown. I am not going to watch a 3-hour SmackDown.
Nope.
We say it's, as we are going to watch SmackDown tonight.
It'll be on in the background.
Yeah.
It's not that it's a bad show, per se, because everything that happens on it is... I don't think they have the pacing
down yet.
No, not at least for SmackDown. They definitely have it for Raw, but again, they don't really need to have a pacing because they can do however long of a fucking show that they want as long as they meet within a certain like time parameter, which they haven't specified what that is. I'm assuming that they have to at least have a 2.5-hour show, and at most 3 hours 15, I would say, is probably the gauge. But in terms of SmackDown, man, 3 hours for that show is tough to sit through, to be completely honest. And then as far as Genesis goes, that was the first time I had watched a TNA pay-per-view in, oh my God, since the early 2010s.
I honestly couldn't tell you the last actual TNA pay-per-view I watched.
Yeah, I haven't watched, at least live, you know?
Yeah.
Last one I sat down and watched was the one where Josh Alexander won the belt, and then Moose immediately fucking cashed in and beat him for it, and then I stopped watching TNA again.
Yeah, this company sucks.
Yeah,
I think the last TNA pay-per-view I watched was the one where Nemeth won the belt, or at least he was fighting for it. I don't remember, but regardless, it was one of the earlier pay-per-views from last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the actual last TNA show that I, well, not show, the pay-per-view that I watched was whatever the one was where Bully joins Aces and Eights.
Like, oh, Christ.
That was pretty recent.
Oh. I mean...
Oh, that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 11 years ago.
Yeah, that was pretty recent.
It happened yesterday.
If you had told me that that happened on Genesis and I hadn't watched Genesis, I probably would have believed you. To be completely honest,
that's the thing with TNA is like I feel like most of the wrestling world, if you tell me something happens 10 years ago, I'm like, that happened like a year ago. But with TNA, yeah, you tell me it happens 10 years ago, I'm like, yeah, that happened 10 years ago. That sounds about right.
Speaking yeah. of, I think today is like the 9-year anniversary of AJ Styles' debut in the Rumble.
That's fucked up.
Oh my fuck! Yeah. Don't say that. That's
and, 9 years. Oh my god.
I'm nine like, years. This motherfucker's almost been in the company a decade. That's fucked up. That's, I hate this.
I want to shoot myself. That's actually fucking insane.
Yeah, and then, like to think that they actually 9 years ago, man. Holy shit! He came in and like, in terms of AJ's rookie year in WWE, that's up there with like Kurt, in my opinion. In terms of like, Kurt in his first year in the company had, was he a Grand Slam? No, he wouldn't win the Grand Slam until a couple of years later. But he had almost every title.
Lost to Chris Jericho in like fucking 2 months into his run. So I don't know about that, big dog.
Well, yeah, but I mean in terms of accomplishments, like Kurt had the European, the Intercontinental, and the World Title by the end of his rookie year.
Yeah, bro, won the WWE title. That was it.
Yeah. Nah, you made a good point. But anyways, back to what happened this week. I think Genesis was a great pay-per-view. I mean, there were only two matches that I think there wasn't a bad match per se. There was definitely bad finishes. Which we kind of touched on the fact that Moose retaining the X Division title against Ace Austin. I can't believe that they did that. Not just because it's Moose, but also because you would think, you know, with everything that happened super unfortunately with Chris Bay last year, you would think that they would try and do something with Ace Austin.
I just don't get why Moose? I don't understand it.
Because he's Moose. He's the only guy in the company that's been there for
in terms of, you know, I don't know how many guys they have left that have actual, quote unquote, brand loyalty left there.
Well, I mean, isn't that like,
you know, one of those guys?
Maybe that should be a sign to them, considering, I mean, if we're going to be realistic here, TNA is not exactly like a place you want to stay at for a long time.
No.
The fact that no one tried to get him or come and got him for their own company has got to tell you something.
At the same time, no one wants Moose anyway.
That might also be changing, I think.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Not changing in terms of somebody's looking to sign Moose. That's not what I mean. I mean, changing in terms of people, you know, talent in the business are probably looking at TNA the most positive that they have in at least a decade in terms of a place that you can go and actually stay and make money, especially now with the partnership. I think it's
me kind of makes it worse, because it's like, I feel like most people are probably just going to use it, you know, as some type of launching pad to get to NXT TNA. So I actually think it's going to make TNA worse off.
Well, I mean, it depends on who it is, because I'll be completely real with you. I don't think, you know, and it's not because I don't like them, but I just don't necessarily see this as like, see these two people in particular as somebody that WWE would go after. You mentioned Mance Warner and Steph DeLander debuted on TNA this week. I don't see them being like, I don't see them going to NXT or anything like that. But I could see them sticking with TNA for a few years.
And that's like perfectly fine for them. But like, you know, like a young guy, like for example, say, Leon Slater, for example. I think he's a guy I could see now using TNA as a means, you know, to get to NXT.
Right. And I completely get that. No, 100%. I just think, like, you know, I think there are certain talents that, no, they probably wouldn't get signed to NXT right away. Oh, yeah,
that's perfectly fine.
And TNA right now, I don't know. Obviously, I'm not in the fucking business. But, like, I'd assume TNA has the most money that they've had in a long time to throw around to sign people.
I would like to believe that, but I don't know. But when the last time TNA truly made a profit was?
Oh, God. Probably not till super recently, but yeah. So Genesis, going back to that. So I mentioned there were two matches that had bad finishes and everything else was pretty great. Of course, the other match being Tessa and Jordan, which sucks because that was a fucking great match, which sucks to admit. But like,
well, Jordan was going out of her way to make sure Tessa looked good, because she's like, I'm fucking leaving.
Yeah, I am in the fucking Royal Rumble, respectfully. I do not give a shit.
But, like, don't you guys think, like, I mean, obviously the answer to this is yes, but in terms of somebody who they could have brought in to replace Jordan, because she's the top woman there, obviously, she has been for a long time, can you guys honestly think of anybody who could have come in and Ben, not saying, let me preface, I don't think Tessa is the answer, but I'm just curious to know if you guys have any names in mind that could have come in and replaced Jordan Grace in terms of being
simply
like,
build someone that's already in the company. Don't bring someone in.
Yeah, that was,
yeah.
Which is what you were just complaining about with Moose and everything.
Yeah.
But like, no, I, feel like to answer Dean's question, if I had to pick a person, I would probably go Megan Bain. She's probably about AEW. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's she was probably the best option, honestly. But I mean, I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll have to wait and see with that. Yeah, man. Everything else that happened on the show was pretty great. Joe Hendry's finally got the world title.
It took him long enough.
Yeah, and that's a long time coming.
Only thing I care about.
Yeah,
seems like that was the majority of what people cared about on that show.
Yeah. See, my biggest thing though too is that, and this to me is just like a big wrestling wide issue. It's not even just like a TNA show. Just I do hope that they actually have like a plan for him as TNA champion, and you know, and it's not just like a here damn, you know, give him the belt because he's over type thing.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of like afraid of, that he's not going to be a great champion solely for that reason.
Well, I don't know if he'll be a here damn champion in the sense that, like, obviously Nick Nemeth is a major star, so having the title on him was a big deal, but like, I think Joe Hendry's definitely, without a doubt, their most over guy.
Oh, yeah.
Makes the most sense to put the belt on him. I don't think it's going to be a super short title run.
No.
I could see it going for a few months at least. But yeah, other than that, I really enjoyed that show.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good show.
Yeah, and then after that, I believe was Raw the next night. It was a good show, but I want to bring up something that we talked about while we were watching it, in terms of presentation. What is the fucking deal with giving everybody a jobber entrance?
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
Yeah, every match you only showed one guy or woman getting an entrance.
Yeah, that was weird. That was extremely weird. I don't know why they fucking did that.
Yeah,
it's like,
it can't be time constraints. I know that.
There are none.
But like, yeah, there's
you
none.
Quite literally have none.
But I thought that was really weird.
Depends. Other than that, though,
good show.
Depending on Dick and Chris Pyro. It's
crazy.
Game Cody Pyro.
The fucking Raw was literally, it was fine. I feel like they waited until the back half of the show to put on all the good matches, because the front half was very whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely thought it was the, you know, weakest of the three Netflix
I agree.
Episodes so far, but I still thought it was a perfectly fine show.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I was thinking too is, this was our first taste of the New Day post, like, in terms of having a match and seeing them in the way that we saw them. This is our first time seeing them since they turned on Big E. They're ditching the music.
I hope so.
Could they also be potentially ditching the name?
I don't think so.
No.
I didn't see any signs of that at all.
I didn't. Yeah, not that I saw any.
You still
use
New Day in like the, you know, at least to me.
I mean, New Day started as a heel group,
right?
Yes,
for a week.
It was a lot longer than a week, buddy.
It was. They were not over for a long time. It took.
Yeah. Like 6 months.
It took a while. Now that I think about it, for them to even get over.
Yeah.
But I mean, once it got over, it got over.
It got fucking over.
Yeah. But I'm interested to see where that goes. I think it's obvious. You know, I don't know if it happens as soon as the Rumble, but I do think it's obvious that the goal is to get to Mania. If whether that is going to be a handicap match against Big E or a triple threat, we're getting to it somehow. So
yeah, that's kind of my big thing about it that I have kind of been thinking about is like, if the end game to it is not Big E comes back, I don't know where it goes that has a, you know, that has like a satisfying ending.
I don't think the end game is Big E coming back.
Really?
I don't think he is ever coming back.
I don't. Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's ever coming back. I think he's done.
If he does, that'd be great, but I'd be very surprised if he did.
The end game was to change what New Day is so that they're refreshed, because they've been doing the same gimmick for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, real.
Yeah. I can see that. I don't know. I have hope, you know, stupid optimism that he's cleared. It's been, God, how many years now since he got hurt? Three or four?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 years. So it's been a while. Not saying that the injury wasn't bad enough that it could have ended his career, obviously. I think, you know, we all saw it. It was gross. But we also don't really have a ton of info about whether or not it was career ending, because Big E's always kind of hinted that he might someday be able to get back in the ring. It's just a matter of how soon. So I'm holding out.
I feel like what else might be his optimism, though.
That's fair. That's fair. But yeah, outside of that, nothing. I don't know about you guys, at least for me, I enjoyed Raw. Nothing really remarkable that, like.
No.
Pentagon and Pete Dunne would have gone crazy in 2018.
Real, let them know.
I still think it was a good match. I just don't think.
No,
it was,
I agree. Oh, no, I feel like we're like several years past when that match would have been relevant.
Super hot.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, like super hot.
I love you, Pete Dunne. I'm so sorry what they did to you.
Let him know. Sorry, Butch.
Yeah, who's
Pete? They're still
who's
running
Pete
with that
Dunne?
Butch thing, dude. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Never mind. Yeah, main event was good. The angle with Sammy was good. So yeah, Raw was a decent show. Nothing super remarkable.
Oh yeah, there
like
actually was one thing I actually liked about Raw. Actually, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens segment.
I thought that was
the best fucking part of Raw. To be honest, because it's like, hey, KO didn't automatically, you know, beat the ever loving. Out of Sammy yet, and it's like it could go one of two ways. Either A, he fucking loses at the Rumble and then beats the fuck out of Sammy, or he actually somehow beats Cody and we actually get them, you know, for the world title at Mania. It would be
insane.
I don't think they do it, but I do think world title or not, that's probably the Mania match.
Yeah. I don't think Cody needs the title at Mania in order to have a Mania match.
Nope.
No. I might be in the minority, but I don't know if I'm. I love Sammy and Kevin wrestling each other, obviously. Like, they've never had a fucking bad match with each other, but, like, I kind of wish they would do something different, because I feel like every time something major happens with either of their characters, it somehow has to always come back to them wrestling each other, which in a way is cool, but like I want to see something different.
I mean, that's why I kind of like the idea of them kind of being like, you know, like the original wrestling soulmates, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They'll like always find a way back to each other. No matter what they're doing, they always find a way back to each other. And I actually think that's really fucking cool that they keep that going for like 10 years.
No, I think it's really cool too. I don't know. Well, I'm excited to see how it plays out either way. Don't get me wrong. I was just.
Oh, yeah. Like, it'll be fucking great regardless. It's like, I don't think it needs the world title, but just that, you know, that one bit about, what was it? Kevin. Talking about how was it 2 years ago they won the tag titles together in the main event of Mania. So it's like, imagine them fighting for the fucking, you know, world, you know, the fucking world title at Mania would be the most insane thing ever for them as best friends. Mm-hmm. And I would love that for them. And I think realistically that would be the next logical step for them, because they had the one Mania match a few years ago that was kind of meaningless. But it was cool to actually say, hey, we got Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens at a WrestleMania. That's fucking awesome. To, hey, you know, they actually won the fucking tag titles together. I'm like, hey, you know, that's really cool. And so it's like, okay, how can we keep that going? Oh, you know, hey, now they're going to fight for the fucking world championship.
Yeah, it's like a natural conclusion.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, plus, this is me being a mark, too. Right? Like, this is also me, you know, being a mark. All that is within, you know, 2 years of each other. So I actually think, you know, it's a nice little thing they could do.
It makes
every
sense.
2 years, they have, like, a crazy media match.
Yeah.
Because their first match was at 37, and they won the tag titles at 39.
Now, yep.
Yeah, so, hey.
41.
Yeah, Austin, so, yeah. Austin Rock type like beat.
Yes. 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 Exactly.
Just 15, 17, like
19.
Just two.
No, yeah, it's. I'm excited for it. See how it turns out.
Justin, you were about to say something.
Yeah, if I could complain about Raw real quick. Cena's still not on Raw Weekly.
No. Yeah, also,
fuck, I don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Why did we bring JBL in just to have him run
commentary
on one match?
That was the other thing.
One segment with you,
I forgot to talk about, but you're absolutely right. How did bro do absolutely...
You're letting that motherfucker do clotheslines from hell and other companies, and you gotta bring him in?
He can clothesline the fuck out of Kofi or something. Like, bro, come on.
It was right there. Like, it was already set up, and then he called Kofi's match with Ray, and then they fucking, like, come on, dude.
Like, didn't he give bro fucking money? Then he took it back from him like a bitch. Yeah. And did nothing about it. Bro, whoop his ass.
Not only that, I don't know if you guys listened to commentary that whole time. I think he was on the New Day side the whole match.
Yes, he was. Yeah, I was also really confused by because, you know, they were like, because they were like offended by what he said. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like,
I mean, the bit could be that it was because Ray retired him, like we were talking about while we were watching the show.
Be, but I don't know if that was actually the bit, though.
I don't know. Weird shit.
Yup.
It was
a
really
weird thing to do.
It was mostly just weird because they gave it such an obvious fucking setup to just have him throw one nasty line.
They promoted him a week in advance.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
yeah.
He tweeted that he was packing a clothesline.
Yeah, he used it on Genesis the night before.
Yeah, he used it on fucking Little Kazu.
I'm willing to bet that they had a plan for him to do it, but then at the last second, they thought that if he clotheslined Kofi, it might be too soon to just like beat up on the New Day like that. I guess. And
womp womp.
I know. I'm not saying it was the right move, but like, you know,
clothesline Ray. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
clothesline somebody.
No, yeah,
it doesn't have to be New Day. It
do something.
I don't give a fuck. Find a bro in the back, pull him out, beat the fuck out of him. I don't give a fuck who it is. It could be Austin Theory. It could be Gunther. I don't give a fuck. Clothesline somebody.
Yeah, no, for sure. But yeah, that was Raw, and then we had NXT. I didn't watch NXT. I don't know if any of you two did.
Nope. No.
I, at the moment, physically could not watch NXT because Optimum took away the fucking channel. They have brought it back, though, so next week, hypothetically, I could watch it. But this week, I could not.
But will you watch it is the better question.
Maybe in passing. Like, okay. I won't be, like, super fucking locked into it, but, like, I'll be like, oh, that's cool, and then talk about it if anything, you know, like, you know, really cool happens. Because, like, this week, from what I saw, it was just kind of, like, stuff happens. Like, the coolest thing I saw was that they're still doing the, what was it? The Bayley Roxanne feud, which I think is cool. But, like, other than that, it's like...
Is NXT that the Mania match?
Ooh,
I could see that. I would like that to be a Mania match. I could also see them having Bayley work the NXT show the night before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to maybe boost in attendance for that show.
Because I don't see anywhere else that we book this out to. Because, like, I feel like the Rumble's probably already set in stone.
Yeah.
Elimination Chamber is probably like already fine. Like they probably already have Elimination Chamber booked.
We'll know by the Rumble how things are looking.
Yes.
So I feel like Mania is where we're going.
Yeah, but like outside of that, because my biggest thing, the NXT Women's division is fucking great right
stacked.
Now. But then you look at the fucking the entire fucking men's roster. I couldn't give less of a shit. Outside of
we got come on, man, we got Obafemi and
outside of him, I couldn't give less of a shit.
A lot of guys in on the men's roster that I think has Ethan Page. like
I don't care.
One thing that confuses me about NXT and at least the way that they handle one of their talents is I feel like they had such a fucking softball with Lexus King coming in if they had just said, let's make him Brian Pillman. And then instead they just said, how do we make him less interesting?
Like, see, what's a shame too, if I, now that you said that, it's insane. Because I don't remember when it was, but it was like 8 months ago. They did a fucking Brian Pillman-esque angle with what's his face, Brooks Jensen, and I was like, why didn't you just do this with fucking Lexus King? Like, was it too obvious? That's why you didn't pick Lexus for this angle. Because I actually think he would have been okay for it. But like, they picked this like from one guy that I'm like, I don't give a shit about Brooks Jensen.
That's Bull Buchanan's son. You better fucking watch your mouth.
Yeah,
I don't give a fucking shit about Brooks Jensen. I don't give a fuck, dude. Like, he did fucking nothing with it, too.
I'd still go down the route of turning. Because the whole thing with Lexus King right now, it seems to just be like, I don't want to be my dad.
He's the good guy, Tama Tonga gimmick now. It's his entire gimmick now.
He just doesn't want to be his dad, but like, I still think the end goal should be. Be your fucking dad.
Like, no, yes. Like, my biggest thing is, like, I like the idea of him not wanting to be, you know, Brian Pillman 1 year. But, like, at the same time, I kind of like, they're probably not going to do it, but I would like if they did something like he like, tries so hard to not be his dad. But he's so fucking bad at it that it drives him insane. And then he becomes, you know, like a loose cannon without even realizing it.
Right. That's,
like he became his own dad without even realizing it. That would be cool. And I would actually really like that a lot.
Just have him lose.
Are they going to do it? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, but.
Like,
are they going to do it? Probably not.
Have him face the North American champion and lose. Have him face the world champion and lose. Yes. Have him keep losing. Be in a tag team. Lose.
Yes.
I don't even give a fuck about the guy. I liked his father, but, like, I don't care.
Yeah. Which sucks, because I think they had potential with him at first, and then, obviously, it went the way that it did, but, yeah. But that's NXT, and then
anyway,
Dynamite,
Obafemi Base God.
Obafemi Base right. God. But then we had Dynamite.
And man, talk about a show of two halves.
A show of two halves, and this is where I want to throw it to the man on this show who is in attendance for this
Sam's
show.
Evil twin clone Mass is here.
And I'm very curious about something, because the last time that I went to an AEW show was 2021 when they were peaking. And I had a great time, and the atmosphere was great.
Me too.
I'm very curious, Sam, to know how the atmosphere was and how it felt to be at an AEW show in 2025.
Well, I went to one in 2024, so I was at Revolution last year. But I don't know if I said this. I don't think I said this when we were recording. I definitely said this though. Knoxville is like notorious for having shitty crowd. Outside of like, because I remember Tony and I went to a house show several years back, and I remember us being there and being like, why the fuck is the crowd not like this for televised events? That house show crowd that was at that house show, which ironically enough was in the same arena, showed up for Dynamite because the fucking crowd was hot like all night, and I was caught so off guard by it. It felt really cool. Like, it felt a great environment crowd wise. I thought the show stood up nice. I mean, there was literally, like, for me, there was not a bad part of the show until literally like the finish of the main event and part of the main event. It was kind of boring. But yeah, that was it. Like, the show fucking ruled. Even the dark match, which was Crazy Steve and fucking Serpentico.
Yeah, sure. Let him know.
Crazy. Crowd was super hot for that. And I was like, oh, man, don't be hot right now and then fucking suck for the show, dude, because I'm going to be so upset.
I agree.
And then Dynamite opened with fucking Kenny and Ospreay doing all that shit. And it just never, it never died after that. And they had Hurt Syndicate and Private Party like right after that. They opened the show in like the best way possible to keep the crowd hot, and it just carried through
exactly
the rest of the night. Best Dynamite I've watched in a while. I'm a little biased maybe because I was there, but it was genuinely, I thought, the best Dynamite that I've seen in quite a while.
Agreed.
Yes.
Just from somebody who watched it on TV, that was handily the best Dynamite I've watched in at least a year.
Yeah.
And that might be, and maybe even more than that, but like, what, it, like you said, the finish of the main event and the main event, which again, we touched on it last week on the show, but like speaks to how fucking flat the Death Riders angle is, that is their main event world title angle. And it is the worst thing on the show. But man, everything else was hot. Really hot.
Yeah, that's like, we like definitely talked about it last week, but I feel like that's my biggest thing about the current AEW product is just like the undercard, like you said, for the most part is very steadily improving. But it's like, man, that fucking main event angle is just so fucking dog water that it drags
stinky
everything else down with it.
Mm-hmm.
It just drags everything else, you know, done with it, because it was like I was having a really fun time watching, you know, most of that show, and then we got to Cote versus fucking Pac, and I was like, yeah, this is a thing, and I don't give a fuck about it, and it went for
way too long,
fucking minutes.
It ran over, like they ran over.
It ran a long time.
They always,
like, man, I don't care about this at all, respectfully.
How was for the opening segment with the giant brawl, how well did they I didn't see anything in terms of like trons or screens that you could have like kept track of?
They had like a de facto screen on the entrance. They had it set up really weird. So there is like a quote unquote like video board in that arena, but if you're on the floor, you're not gonna see it. It's not very big. Like, it's a semi-pro hockey fucking arena,
right,
but they had it set up weird where it was like they couldn't lower the board because they had the ring off-centered from it, so like the lighting rig was blocking, like their lighting rig was blocking the video board from coming down. Not that you would have been able to see it anyway, and not that it's super big, and I don't know if it even plays like... No, they just... Yeah, they just upgraded it like last year, I think. But no, I was sitting like my back to the entrance, so during that whole brawl, I had to do a complete 180. Like, I almost missed Ospreay and Omega jump off, like do the moonsaults, because my back was turned to it at the time.
Yeah, so, I don't know who did miss that spot though. The AEW production team.
Yes, they did. They missed Kenny big time.
That was the thing I fucking wanted to talk about. As good enough as I thought, you know, that I thought Dynamite was, I thought the production team took the fucking night off because I don't know what happened for fucking most of the show.
Yeah.
Between the, you know, camera work, which I still thought was a really good opening brawl. They missed half of the big spots, and I was like, how did you manage to miss Kenny Omega, who has just come back from, like, you know, fucking diverticulitis, do a fucking moonsault 20 feet in the air off of, like, a fucking truss? How do you fucking miss that?
Yeah.
Well, that's insane to me.
That's the thing, too, is I never even saw Kenny go up. So I'm watching Ospreay, and then, like, out of the corner of my eye, I see someone else do a moonsault from the opposite direction, and I was like, what the?
Mm-hmm. It was still hot, though.
Oh, yeah, dude, it was crazy.
But then it was like that, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, but the, during, what was it, Private Party versus the Hurt Syndicate?
Mm-hmm.
No, Private Party came out to their new song.
Yeah, then and then they switched it to Shots.
To the ring, and then they played Shots.
We were...
I don't know if that was intentional, or...
We were all so confused. We were all so fucking confused.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if they they meant to do that, or that was a shoot fuck up. I would imagine it was a shoot.
It was
a shoot fuck up.
It was really weird, because, like... So me and John watched it. I think Justin was there as well.
Nope.
Oh, you weren't on that? Oh, okay. I thought you were with us.
Nope.
All right, anyways, me and John watched it together live. Mm-hmm. And, like, I said to John, when the Private Party music hit and it was the wrong music, and then I saw the look on Isaiah's face, I just said to John, I'm like, dude, they have such fat loose face on. It was very obvious on TV, at least, that these guys were about to lose their belts, which they did, and it was fucking awesome.
I was just about to say, not only did they fucking lose, they got
their asses whipped. They got nothing in.
Crazy Hurt Syndicate style. Crazy fucking Hurt Syndicate style. That was cool.
Which, like, back to Private Party. Exactly how it should have been fucking done. Like,
respectfully, yes.
Hurt Syndicate looked like monsters. Absolutely dominated the whole match. No pun intended. Dominator. But,
Wow.
Perfect. Like, it was the perfect way for them to win the titles. And I'm stoked to see where it goes from here with at least them as tag champs. I don't know if they're going to drop them back to Private Party, knowing AEW.
Probably
somehow
not.
It's gonna end up back on the Young Bucks or FTR, and that's gonna make this whole thing a waste. But I'm holding out hope that they try and do.
If
something.
If I had the pen, right, we're doing, we're doing Hurt Syndicate versus, Murphy and Brody, with their new, fucking Malachi dog that they got with them. It's fucking sweet. They turned Malachi into a dog.
They did.
That was pretty cool.
Sam,
I would do that because that would be sweet.
Yeah. Sam, from your perspective of being there, what would you say was match of the night for you?
Do you want my answer, or do you want, like, what is probably actually the match of the night?
Give me both. Because I'm cute. Because obviously, like, being there live changes things.
Hurt Syndicate and Private Party was my favorite match of the night, but I'm also crazy Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin, MVP Mark. Actual match of the night, probably Jamie Hayter and Julia Hart.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly how I felt. That's how it came across. Just such a good show.
Pac and Cope wasn't, like, bad, but it just went way too long.
It drained me.
Who fucking
and
cares?
Like, the spear to the back, not even being the finish. Like, what the fuck? What are you doing? I don't even remember what the finish was.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I don't even remember what the finish was now.
Absolutely been the finish.
Yeah.
Pac's in the Death Riders, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The fact
See,
that you even
that's
have
a
to
problem.
Ask that.
Yeah.
Pac's with this angle.
You had to ask that question. Really
super
puts
fucking crazy.
I'm going to be honest. Him coming out to the Death Riders theme at Dynamite was me finding out that he was in the Death Riders.
Really?
That's real as fuck,
I thought he was still
that's
just one of
fuck.
Like I thought he was still just one of Mox's like dudes. I didn't know that they were like I didn't know he was like officially in the Death Riders. Because well, he was doing shit with the BCC before Danielson, you know, quote unquote retired or whatever.
Yeah.
But he was never like in the BCC, so I thought it was like the same deal, but now it was just the same group with a different name.
Hey, and you know, with Marina Shafir. That they never defend.
Oh, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're the trios champions. How long do you think it takes for them to? Because I already think this angle, and I think everybody else would agree, it's run its fucking course. But like, how much longer do you think they're gonna drag this shit?
Dude, I genuinely don't know because I don't know what you could do.
Knowing Tony Khan, I think he actually might wait for Darby.
That's insane.
If he freezes and dies in Mount Everest, what do you fucking do then?
It's never going to end.
I'm supposed to do the fucking Futurama off and see more ending where he just waits for him.
He's going to have Sting come in and beat Boxley.
That would be hot.
TNA
wins again.
And then they'll have Jarrett beat Sting and then...
Yeah!
And then they'll have Truth come in and beat Jarrett. And then we'll just...
And then Dusty Rhodes just run perpetuity.
He's going to start over.
If they don't wait for Darby, it's probably going to be Jarrett, to be honest.
Oh,
really think it's going to be Jarrett? There's no way it's going to be Jarrett.
I don't know.
They just said that they have no plans on putting the belt on him.
There's no fucking way it's actually going to be Jarrett. Hear me out, right? If it's anyone that's not Darby, kind of want it to be Eddie Kingston.
It should be Eddie.
Yes, I still think it should be Eddie, but I also have a horrible feeling in the pit of my stomach that Jarrett's going to beat Mox and then drop the belt to MJF. No.
Christian has to do something too.
As crazy stupid as that would be, I could see them dragging out the MJF Jarrett thing. And
I think that match is happening before anyone is going to get the chance to wrestle Mox.
Grand Slam. I think MJF costs him the match against Claudio, you know, next week, and then we get Jarrett versus MJF at the Australia show, and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think Jeff even beats Claudio next week.
That's what I just said.
No,
oh, okay. I'm not listening to you.
Yeah. That's right. All right, Paul.
I disassociated and then came back at the end of what you were saying.
Yeah, well, no, I said that he costs Jarrett next week, and that sets up him and Max at the fucking Australia show.
Yeah, that seems like it's where it's going anyway.
I would imagine. I'd be shocked if he actually beats.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked, but it would be dumb. But I mean, that's what they were building on Dynamite was Max and Jeff, which that also sucks.
Yeah, that's my big thing. I don't know what the angle's about.
I don't either.
It's like. It's like, just the same shit, dude. It's the same shit that every MJF feud is about. He's just being a prick to a guy who's not being a prick. That's it. And they've tried to tie in, like, you know, MJF. Owen. Yeah, which is, oh my god, I can't believe they did that.
Which is insane.
So stupid. But I don't want to. I don't want to harp on it too much because other than that, it was a great Dynamite. I take it you had a great time, Sam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was awesome.
All right, Sam's also... All right, Sam, it's time for you to talk about Ring of Honor.
Nope, I left.
All right, Dean. DNA.
I do have something to say about AEW. Edge is my favorite wrestler of all time. Mm-hmm. Stop fucking using him.
I agree.
That's real.
Listen to me.
That's real as fuck.
Listen to me. Look at me. Listen. Look here. Shoot time.
Oh, look at me, Adam.
Fucking
Adam.
Look here. Listen. when his music hit at the Rumble, when he first came back, I was not excited.
Oh, that's crazy.
I was scared.
Whoa, what? Oh, okay.
I was like, this fucker broke his neck several times, and I've watched several documentaries and interviews and shit like that, where I'm like, this dude's never going to be able to wrestle again. And, you know, he's probably never going to be able to walk again if he tries to do this shit. And then here he is. I get it. Medicine's progressed and, you know, things are getting better. And I'm glad in some aspects that we have the option for certain people. Danielson, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I was just about to say Danielson.
Right. For example, Danielson. But there's a difference between Danielson and Edge where, you know, Danielson's career wasn't necessarily over or didn't have to be over. Edge's career, for all intents and purposes, was over.
Mm-hmm.
It was done. He did not have to come back ever again.
Yeah, like it had an ending.
Yes. I don't know why he's still wrestling. I don't know why he's continuing. I get it. It's what are you if you're not a wrestler, which is something Kurt Angle said on the Chris Van Fleet interview. But, like, and then Kurt even said in that same interview, in that same segment, that, you know, his wife was like, you're a father, you're the husband, you know? Like,
yeah, Kurt also said he wished he had retired 10 years earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, fucking wrap it up. Jericho, you piece of shit. You too.
Well, it's, the like, thing is, like, the spot that Edge has, like, where Edge is being booked is where Christian should be booked.
Yeah, Christian is, like, the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And this is the reason why I'm not, why I don't argue with Chair is because I agree with him.
wow.
Christian is not in a situation that Edge is. Yeah. Christian's career never naturally ended or was forcefully ended. Christian can go out whenever he feels like
just
going
out. Just walk away, yeah.
Yeah. Christian has no reason not to continue. And he's still in tremendous shape. And Christian arguably the things he's doing
Christian
is really
like,
funny.
Christian is peaking. Stuff. Christian is peaking for like the fourth time in his career.
Yeah, exactly.
Real.
I don't want to watch Edge wrestle. I'm sorry. And he's my favorite wrestler of all time.
Tie into what you were saying too earlier. A big difference between him and, say, for example, say Bryan Danielson, is that Danielson's like a fucking sick freak.
Yeah,
that's true.
Edge in this fucking AEW run wants to be a sick freak. It's like, dog, you're like 51. Stop jumping off of fucking cages and breaking your leg. Stop doing all this shit. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just fucking go away. It's okay. We all fucking love you. You don't have to prove anything anymore.
Yeah.
We all love you. You don't have to prove anything.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is like, you don't have to do this. Like, we were, like, it.
Right.
When he had to retire, it sucked. It really sucked.
Yeah,
but it was like, it was a good.
He accepted it.
He had retained the world title the night before. He never even lost the fucking belt.
Hey, beat Del Rio, so yeah.
And then Christian won the belt after he dropped it. So, like, it's cool.
Yeah,
great,
dude,
ending to your career, dog.
Sick. And then Vince ruined it, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, well. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like Edge, but since he's come back, like, his Rumble return, hot crazy. Cried unbelievably.
Yeah.
But since then, mm-hmm. like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm going to be in that camp. I don't know if Edge has really done a shit ton since returning that I was kind of like, ooh. About
it's like, been nothing mostly.
The most I could say that I was like, ooh, was probably when he was anti-champion. I actually didn't hate that stuff. I actually thought that was fairly good. But it's like,
I mean,
in a fucking main event angle on, you know, on AW TV, I don't think that's where you should be. Respectfully,
y'all are like forgetting that he started the Judgment Day.
That I was just about to say, I was like, I actually was really happy with his run after coming back up until I go all the way up until the promo with Ricky Starks. The promo with Ricky Starks is where I was like, all right, dog, I'm fucking tapped out on COVID.
Well, yeah, I mean, that fucking killed Ricky Starks' career in AEW because he's not been seen since.
Yeah.
I did not forget the Judgment Day. I just don't care about the Judgment Day.
Fucking Edge's original Judgment Day fucking sucked ass.
I agree.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. I just think it's funny.
I did not forget.
Still fucking going.
I did not.
Yeah, you're
still,
right,
I just purposely did not mention it because it wasn't
good. It's not like the current Judgment Day is any fucking better.
Because it is stinky.
I just
think guys like Edge, like Jericho, Matt Hardy in TNA, for example. for their well beings in some cases, and because we don't want to fucking see them in others, need to give it the fuck up. And then some wrestlers I'm biased against, and some wrestlers I'm biased for, like Jeff Hardy and Punk.
Agreed.
Right.
Agreed. Because it would definitely be, at least for Hardy's sake, Jeff, I'm talking about, health-wise, maybe even in terms of his addiction struggles, I don't think the business is necessarily the best thing for him. But selfishly, I will pop every time I see him.
That is true.
So,
plus,
I totally get where you're coming from.
Plus, I would love him to have one proper, like, one real proper, like, retirement redemption one where he goes out on his terms and then he's done.
Yeah.
On drugs. Agreed. Terms, his terms.
All right.
Well, like, no. But,
no, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, because it is.
I do think that they should do the Punk retirement match.
Yep.
Not that Punk should retire to Hardy. I think Hardy should retire to Punk.
Yeah.
It's a logical conclusion to something that has been happening for a very long time. Like, I think it's a satisfactory conclusion to that.
Would that technically be the first time that someone's ended somebody else's WWE career twice?
I'm sure it's not, but I can't tell you anything off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else either. That's why I just thought about it. Yeah.
Who retired Shawn?
Undertaker.
Taker did it twice then.
Oh, that well, technically, yeah, but I mean like in the sense of like
that,
blatantly. The first Jericho? Match that Punk and Jeff had.
What was Jericho's retirement?
Because like, didn't he lose the Loser Leaves match on Raw to Cena for the WWE title, and then hasn't he lost another match since?
I'm
forcing him out of the company.
No, he never had a match that forced him out of the company because he went and worked. I think he worked Wrestle Kingdom under like some weird deal, and then he came back that summer to WWE. Did like one triple threat with Owens and Styles, and then never came back.
Yep.
No, well, because he was at the fucking Greatest Royal Rumble, and then Kevin Owens. You know, fucking screamed at him. I go back to Japan, and I'm like,
and then he did. Yeah, then he did.
Yeah, he did. I'm like, cool.
They had said it that like the first match with Punk and Hardy back in 2009 was if Hardy loses, he's gone. Yes. And then now, if they did it again, it would obviously be another situation of if Hardy loses, he's done. I think that might honestly be the first time that's happened, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah,
actually, you know what's fucked up? You know what's fucked up?
Mm-hmm.
Taker's technically ended Shawn's career 3 times.
Yeah, because of the
tag match.
You are
technically right. You are technically right.
Taker is directly involved in Shawn not being a full-time wrestler 3 times.
Yep.
Crazy.
Blew his back out the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Insane, actually. I just kept thinking about that. I wish I could forget about that tag match.
It's sad because I forgot about the casket match and just remembered the crown jewel match.
Oh, that's crazy. I definitely had it the other way around.
I chose to forget that.
Well,
Dean, get us to the rumor mill so I can get off here and make some fucking food.
All right.
I'm done.
I have rounded up a few major talking points from the news this week for wrestling. Some of these, actually, the majority of these are at the moment just rumors and speculation. Some of these are set in stone, however, and I want to start with the stuff that broke earlier this week in terms of Britt Baker and her status with AEW. This is coming from Wade Keller of Pro Wrestling Torch. Has reported that, or had reported, sorry, that Tony Khan was fed up with Britt Baker and had absolutely no plans on bringing her back into the fold. However, an update on that, Brian Alvarez on the Wrestling Observer, I believe yesterday morning, came out and said that these reports are being completely blown out of proportion. While there are no plans for Britt at the moment, it is not as bad as Wade Keller was reporting it to be in terms of Tony Khan being completely fed up with Britt. But it does still seem like she's going to be in that same area that Rey Fénix and Ricky Starks seem to also be stuck in right now, where Tony's just not going to book them, which, you know, say what you want to say about Britt Baker. I don't agree with holding any talent under contract hostile just because you don't want to book them. I think releasing talent. Yeah, like, just what's the point of keeping these people and paying them? Like, it's not even
that's my
a bad...
biggest thing. It's like, ooh, I'm going to pay you full price for your salary. That'll sew you. It's like, what?
Yeah, I mean, it's
like,
it's
I
very
it.
Strange. There are reports that WWE is showing interest if she is made available, which I think was probably the obvious outcome here. I don't know. None of us know how this is really going to turn out. But I did want to mention, for anybody who wants more clarification on that story, more in depth, Jamie Toulin of WrestleTalk wrote a great article about it this morning. Definitely check that out. Moving on from that, PW Insider reporting on the contract negotiations between Alexa Bliss and WWE. It came out earlier this week that the plan was originally for her to return on, I believe, what would have been last week's Monday Night Raw, January 13th. She would join the Wyatt Six, which that would have been awesome.
Sound like Wyatt right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is my internet messed up?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty bad.
Am I better now?
Just keep going.
Gone? Yeah.
The report, however, yes, she was supposed to return on last week's.
Oh, brother. All right, you fix your shit. I can run through this stuff through mostly through my memory.
Yeah.
Alexis Bliss was supposed to return on the, I think it was the, not this past Monday, but the Monday before last, with the Wyatt Six. Did not happen. And then the Wyatt Six got moved to SmackDown. From what I understand, Bliss is trying to get more money out of the deal, and WWE is, not trying to do that. So there's, like, zero plan on her return whatsoever, and it's kind of killing the Wyatt Six's whole everything right now.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Which is dumb, because they were doing shit without her up until last week.
They don't
need her. I don't get the point. Yeah.
They don't need her.
So yeah, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It doesn't make any fucking sense to me. I really don't understand why Bliss not being there ruins any plans that they had for them, because obviously, like, they were doing shit before. Why can't they just continue doing shit without her? And then if she does come in, then you just put her in there. I don't fucking know. Dean has died. We're gonna wrap it up. John, Justin, you got anything to say?
I hate wrestling.
All right, thank you, John.
I wish I could say the same.
I cannot. I've really enjoyed wrestling the last like few weeks. It's been really cool.
I can never walk away from this great sport, respectfully.
neither can I, but I still hate it.
Yeah, well. But yeah, that'll do it for Hot Dog in a Handshake this week. We're going to get off here and I guess watch SmackDown in 10 minutes in the background while we do something else. Mm-hmm. For me, for John, for Justin, for Dean, who is dead, we love you. We'll see you next week. Love you. Bye.
Love you, bye.